Now, I'm a big fan of The Lord of the Rings, an incredible tale, one of the greatest ever told. And probably my favorite scene in the story is the Battle of Helm's Deep. Now, this is a moment when the good guys are backed into a corner and forced to confront wave upon wave of evil. And for a while, it appears as if there really is no hope for our heroes. But just as the light is about to be snuffed out, help arrives, and in an instant, the tide of the battle changes and the enemy are forced to flee. But the funny thing about that battle is that it is not the end of the story, it's not the climax. No sooner has the dust of the battle settled than everyone is forced to regroup and to face the enemy again on another battlefield. And after an even bigger battle, even that is not the end. There's another fight, another call to arms, and a charge to face the enemy. In Psalm 43, though we don't read of a great battle of peoples and nations taking arms against each other, we do read of the battle of the inner life of a believer. In just these few verses, we see something of a roller coaster of emotions. And there's a back and forth as we see the psalmist experience both the heights of joy and the depths of despair. And even after what appears to be victory, we realize the battle isn't over. However, most of all, we see the miraculous saving power of our God. We see what it means to know him in the midst of trial, and we sing with the writer of the strength that God gives us each and every day. So tonight, I want us to be honest about the battle ahead and to recognize that there will most likely be tears along the way. But even more so, I want us to sing praises to our God who has placed us on a rock higher than ourselves, and to see a God who has been and will be our refuge and our strong tower against our foes. There are two main headings I want to bring tonight, and the first might sound a bit strange at first. We are not the hero of our own story. Now, I wonder how many of you went to a school which used to have motivational posters on the wall. You know, the kind of poster with a thick black border and an image of someone at the top of Mount Everest, or maybe a dog jumping over a treacherous ravine, and a title and caption that reads something like, "Ambition, aspire to climb as high as you can dream," or "Potential, we all have the tools for greatness within us." I can't imagine a similar poster saying what I'm saying tonight. Reality, you are not the hero of your own story. But what do I mean by that? This psalm and the psalm previous are a refreshingly open, honest account of the sorts of struggles we as believers face. Let us notice the position of the psalmist right from verse 1. "Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked." When we read in places like the Psalms the struggle to face enemies, when soldiers surround and arrows begin raining down, it's important not to think we will never be in this sort of situation, because we're never going to be in some sort of large physical battle. But the battle is real. The battle against the deceitful and wicked starts when we rise in the morning, and it continues throughout the day and into the night. It's a battle which manifests itself in often subtle ways, small things which, if we're not careful, can catch us off guard. The world may not be firing arrows at us, but they will fire accusations at us and seek to undermine our faith. We are called to be prepared for this. In 2 Timothy 3, we read that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And we shouldn't be surprised, because, to quote Spurgeon, "hating the king, they," that is the world, "will not love his subjects." So even if we don't feel under physical attack, we have to consider that the reality of our situation as believers today is actually more similar than we might think to the author of Psalm 43. But not only do we get a sense of the battle that we face, we also see in these verses just how complex that fight can be. In verse 2, just as the psalmist proclaims, "You are God, my stronghold," we read, "Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" What's going on here? It's a situation many of us face on a regular basis. Doubt, doubt is real. The horrible thing about doubt is that it can just as easily creep up on us as it can come crashing down. We can even find ourselves singing praises to God one minute, only for our minds to wander and even cause us to question something of God the next minute. One day we may get out of bed, and before we've even been able to make our way downstairs for breakfast, we might question what the point of any of this is. Other days we might struggle to even get out of bed in the first place. Doubts are not simply signs of a lack of faith or a lack of spiritual maturity. Yes, there may be situations where our actions or words cause us to stumble, but a lot of the time there can be no rhyme or reason as to the struggles of our hearts. In Psalm 43, after the question in verse 2, we read a great promise and joy and excitement in verses 3 and 4, only to return to the verse 2 refrain at the beginning of verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? It will never be comfortable to face up to our doubts, but know this. Our doubts, painful though they are, can bring us to the realization that we desperately need God. We cannot do things in our own strength. This is not a battle we can fight our own way out of. This is not our time to be the hero. This psalm and the message of the Bible is that our only hope in life and death is to know the saving power of God. These words, which we often sing, put it well. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. There is nothing in these psalms that Jesus didn't experience himself on a deeper level. And so when all hope seems lost, there is only one place we ought to turn to. Whilst we are not the heroes of our own stories, we know the one who is. Here in Psalm 43, we have an abundance of reasons to be thankful. As we look and see who God is and what he has done, our hearts are stirred and our faith is strengthened. In verse 1, the psalmist speaks of the God who vindicates us, the one who pleads our cause. Even with the shouts and cries of all the forces of evil, as Charles Spurgeon again puts it, one good word from God outweighs 10,000 railing speeches of men. This is the one who is fighting for. Again, to quote the song we spoke of earlier, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. As we continue, we read of the God who is our stronghold, or in other versions of that verse, we read, for thou art the God of my strength. So what is this strength that the psalmist is speaking of? What is the strength that we can know today for ourselves? It is a strength which manifests itself in more than one way. Firstly, God grants us natural strength, not simply the ability to lift weights, but the gift of our hands to plough the fields, the gift of our feet to go out to the world, the gift of our minds that we would use our intellect and our creativity for his purposes. As Acts 17 verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. This is natural strength. The strength to use our days for the Lord. Alongside natural strength, God grants providential strength. God paves the way for us, his people, even in the midst of darkness and despair, working in ways we can never do. As we read in Psalms 18, verse 28, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And thirdly, we have spiritual strength. 1 John 2, verse 14 says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. We are made strong through the word of God living inside us, through the working of the Holy Spirit. This sort of strength cannot be measured in physical terms, but it is a precious thing. To know the strength of the faith that God develops in us, a characteristic which many believers have testified to over the years, even when physical strength begins to decrease. So the natural strength to face the day, the providential strength that paves the way, and the spiritual strength to endure, these are all the gracious gifts of our God. Let's look again at Psalm 43. The psalmist asks God in verse 3 to send his light and faithful care. And this response to the doubts of verse 2 is significant. You see, it's important that we don't beat ourselves up over our weaknesses or our doubts. Perhaps that is our tendency over the fact that we are not worthy and there is nothing more to it. In order to be able to rest on the promises of God, in order to break through that cycle and dwell in the place where he is, we need to be led by God. We read something more of what that looks like in James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Submission and humility are the characteristics of someone who is strong. The strong believer is the one who prays, as the psalmist prays, that God would lead them and bring them to his holy mountain. What this passage in James helpfully reminds us is that the end goal is not simply happiness. The message of the Bible is more profound than just cheer up, there are better days ahead. The best response we can have to fears and doubts is to pray, is to preach to ourselves that God is willing and able to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, not to tell ourselves that we simply need to be stronger in ourselves, or equally to abandon all hope that God would ever have anything to do with us. Look to our God as the first port of call. Humble yourself, ask for forgiveness, and be obedient to his commands. And as we do these things, as we recognize who God is and what he has done for us, we are strengthened. What a wonderful thing that is, to know the rest that comes from the knowledge that God has already paid the price for us. He has saved us from death. And so we delight that he is most worthy of praise. I don't know if anyone can play the harp or the lyre, but I hope we can all relate to the response of the psalmist in verse 4. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Those four words, O God, my God, are some of the most precious words we could ever utter. If there's one thing I pray we would all be able to say tonight, it is those words, words of wonder and worship. Even when we ask questions like the psalmist in verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? God doesn't turn his face away. God doesn't abandon us and leave us to fend for ourselves. Instead, as the Father ran to meet the prodigal son on his return, we can run into the arms of our Father and know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our Father. He is our Lord. And he will never let us go. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. As we draw to close, I want to speak to those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. You need Jesus more than you need air. You might be able to last for a little while by yourself, but when your life on earth draws to a close and you are standing before God, he will be pleading for you. It sounds harsh, but you are not a hero. None of us are heroes. We are wretched sinners in need of grace with a debt we cannot pay by ourselves. But the wonderful news is Jesus paid that price by dying on a cross for us. He took the punishment which was rightfully ours and conquered death so that we may know God today and for the rest of eternity. So please look to the God of the Bible and respond to him tonight. Be like Amos last week as he shared that wonderful news that he had given his life to Christ. Do that tonight. Respond to God's call. And for those of us who do know the Lord, how will we respond tonight? Maybe we need to recognize that we can't do things in our own strength. Or perhaps we recognize that we need to turn to God in immediate response to our doubts, drawing on him as the source of all comfort and joy. Look to God and see who he is. And what he has done. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And so as we put our hope in him, he will give the strength we need for every passing day until the day that will never pass. Praise God.